This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back in stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, hey, I want this, just not right now. Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswim.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Subscriptions are broken. That is the thesis of our guest today. Subscriptions are broken. You know, and I talked to him about it. I think he might be right. Okay, maybe not broken, but certainly in need of improvement. And he was like, all right, Kurt, how many subscriptions do you have? You know what's funny? I said, man, I don't think I have any. It turns out I have one. I subscribe to the air filters for my furnace. They show up once every 6 months. And that's it. Because my frustration with subscription, like I love the convenience and the idea of it, but I always end up getting the stuff at the wrong time. I have too much. I have too little. That's a big pain with subscriptions for me. And so I think he might be onto something. And certainly he's got a lot of experience. Jay Myers from Bold joins us. Jay is a Shopify partner OG, has so many claims to fame in the Shopify partner ecosystem and a recurring guest over the last decade on this show. Jay, welcome back. Happy to have you.
Thanks so much for being here, man. It's I remember when you launched this podcast in, was it 2015? I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah, 14 or 15, but you were our first sponsor.
Yep. And you know, you were a pioneer in the space, man. Cause like I remember thinking at the time, there's no space in the market for a Shopify podcast. Like it should just be e-commerce, but you niched down and you bet on Shopify and you've built this amazing community and like you were way ahead of the game. Like, so like kudos to you for and holy cow, man, 11 years. I don't know. Like I read some stat, like 90% of podcasts don't make it past like 5 episodes or something. So like,
yeah.
You have to be in the top like 0.01%.
I hope so. It had a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. A lot of effort. What episode? How many are you at now?
Jeez, it's at least 700. You know, it's hard to know to keep track. And because like one time I just got, I don't know what happened, but I was like, I'm just, you know, I want quality. I just deleted 100 episodes one day.
No way.
Yeah, and so I know like currently it's like 650 something.
It's funny. Air filters are probably one of the things I would for sure subscribe to as well too, because it's like you need to be reminded to change them. I'm actually thinking right now if I need to change my air filter. I don't even know, because you as a human aren't using it, something else is using it, and unless you set a reminder you forget to use it. But I you know, for those that don't know Bold, like we launched a subscription app in just like at the end of 2014. We've been with Shopify since 2012. I was a store owner. I launched my first store in 1998. I'll date me a little bit. Put one of my stores on Shopify in 2009. And Harley told me one time it was store number like 6,000 something. It was like super early. Like it looked nothing like it did now. But the thing that Shopify had really good early on was they had good themes. And I remember looking at like BigCommerce and others, and you're like, oh, these themes are mobile responsive, like by default. And that was like in 2009, wasn't something you could just expect, but Shopify themes were. So anyways, moved some of my stores onto Shopify, and then they had this app store. In 2012, we built our first app. 2014, we launched subscriptions, and we've been doing subscriptions forever. And it used to be that if you just put subscriptions on your store, like that was a competitive advantage. Like if you sold cat food and you had subscriptions, and your competitor didn't. Like, I don't know, people listening might remember when Chewy launched pet food subscriptions. Like, it was revolutionary. It was like, oh, now I don't have to think about ordering my pet food anymore. But now, in fact, like every year I say subscription fatigue is at this all-time high. I feel like I've been saying that for the last like 3 years, because every year it just goes up and up. And like, what subscription fatigue is there's a whole bunch of data points, but it's the percentage of people that say they're overwhelmed by subscriptions, managing them at 62%. The number of people that full like clean house on subscriptions. And like, there's like, cause you not just cancel one subscription, but they say, that's it, I'm just not subscribing to anything anymore. And that's subscription fatigue. And then there's subscription fatigue on smaller levels, where like my greens supplements, I tried for like 4 or 5 months and I could not get the timing right, cause I scoop it. And I don't know if I don't scoop the right amount or I scoop too much, but I would run out, or then I wouldn't take my greens for a week or two and I would get another tub in. And then my wife would say like, our pantry is pretty full and I've got like two big things of protein, extra protein. I'm like, I just can't get the timing right. So I canceled all my, my protein subscription, my greens, cause it was filling up half our pantry. And I just remember thinking, like, this was about a year and a half ago, that, you know, subscriptions promised the world that they would make your life easier. And for a select mix of products, they do. Like, there are certain products where a subscription is ideal. Like, if I have a 30 pill bottle that I need to take every month, or air filters, or certain things that are very fixed, but like my protein powder, my coffee, like, I guarantee we consume it differently. And so our lives don't live on a 30 day window, but yet we have to try to fit them into these subscription schedules. And I'm saying this as a subscription, like, we still have a subscription app, and then we're not getting rid of our subscription app, but we saw this problem of, subscriptions have been a challenge. So I don't want to ramble about that too much, but, we're definitely trying to solve that.
So our thesis here is subscription fatigue. And you're saying this as a guy with a subscription app for a decade, right? And what we're seeing is people get frustrated with the timing, with those delivery windows. Like, for sure, that's my issue. And you could try to adjust it, or you could try to skip. But ultimately, a lot of people just end up, out of frustration, canceling. And they're like, all right, I could just order on my own. This isn't that big a deal. Because the whole point, the thing the subscription is giving you, that you're truly, the thing you're selling, is convenience. Like, I know I need this. I know I need it regularly. I'm not going to stop needing it for some time. Just send it to my house. Like, just make it appear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my air filters. That's my reminder to go change them. Like, oh, right. This showed up again. Here we go.
Yeah. But, and they would never stack up, right? Like, you'd never get new air filters and go, I'm going to just pile this up. No, that's when you change them. That's like your trigger to change them. So that's like a very good use case of a subscription.
But then other stuff, it's like, subscriptions are almost always going to be a consumable good, right? Mm-hmm. And the issue is, the consumption rate is not finite in practice. You know, it's correct. Even like coffee, unless I'm making, you know, I'm measuring things out by weight, there is going to be variance, you know, or maybe I don't drink coffee every morning, or sometimes it's for my wife and I, and other times it's just for one of us. Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, that's where you get into issues. And so you've got the data on it, surely, you know, as owner of a subscription app. How bad is this problem? Quantify it.
It's quite bad. I would say over 80% of brands using our subscription platform, and we've had over 100,000 Shopify merchants use our subscription app. Over 80% are in this state. I sometimes refer to it as the subscription death curve, but it's like flatline. Like, anytime you have a product that's a recurring revenue product of any sort, you get to this point where you are churning as many customers as you're onboarding, and you can't grow. Like, you're stuck in this flat line. The thing is, with it sucks to lose a customer, not because of the product, but because of the mechanism in which they get the product. So, like, brands listening right now, you know how much you pay to acquire a customer. You fight nickel and dime with your ads, your creative, you're trying to rank in AI and trying to rank in SEO, if that's still whatever, like you do everything you can to get a customer. They love your product, but they just don't love the subscription. And what often happens is a customer will, let's say protein powder, it could be anything, it could be coffee, it could be whatever, collagen. You cancel, you love the product, but you just don't want six of them on your shelf, or you don't want to run out and be without it. So you cancel the subscription. And then what happens is, say it's protein powder, I might be at Costco, I just buy my protein powder there. And now that brand has lost me as a customer for life. Not because they did anything wrong. Like their product was great, their packaging was great, their marketing was great, but I just got frustrated with the subscription. And I wasn't really mad at the company, but I just was like, you know what? I got three tubs of this protein in my shelf. I'm going to just cancel my subscription. I don't want to pause it. Sometimes people pause it, but they're people, the way they think is they're like, I'll just cancel it. I'll restart it when I want to restart it. But then they never do. And what we see is 76. So this is really like 76% of customers that cancel a subscription never come back to that store again. 24% do, but so 24% of customers that cancel subscription come back and buy the product at least one time. So that means they still want the product. They don't want the subscription, but 76% are gone forever. Now, the ones that come back and they buy it at least once, I don't know the data on if they buy it a second or a third time, but it's much lower. Now, if it's protein, like almost 100% of the customers still are buying protein. It's not like they in fact, actually the, we have a, when someone cancels a subscription, there's an option to say, why are you canceling? And you can say, it's too expensive, or I don't need it anymore, or I have too much, or I have not enough, or I can't get my timing right. It's like over, I think it's like 82%. It's far and away the number one selected is I have too much or I have too little is why they cancel. It's almost never, I don't need this product anymore. Like that's very, very rare. I think that one is like less than 10%, or it's, I found another product I'm switching to. So we know that the customers still want the product. They just don't want the subscription. And then you as a brand are losing that customer for life potentially because they just don't like the rigid subscription. I wouldn't say that we're in the business of subscriptions. We are in the business of getting products to customers when they need it. And like the best analogy I can give for this is if you work in a car factory, someone says, what do? You shouldn't say I'm in the automobile industry, because the way people transport evolves. Like if you were in the horse and buggy industry, when people stopped using horse and buggy, you're screwed. And if you're in the car industry, well, people might use trains, they might use something else. We might be riding on robots soon. I don't know, but like you need to be in the transportation industry, right? And so things evolve, and the way things nobody uses a map anymore, but we still need to get somewhere. We use a GPS. There's the job to be done still exists. And like, we don't call the front desk at a hotel for a wake-up call anymore. We set an alarm on our phone. The job is still there, right? Like I could go on with these analogies, like Rolodexes. Who cares?
How many Rolodex? Do you have?
I got about 7 or 8 of these, but like the point is, I don't even know. I'm making them up on the spot, but you still have a CRM, even though you have Rolodex. But the point is customers still need their product refilled, but they don't necessarily need a subscription, right? And I think too many brands are trying to force their customers into a subscription, and then it ends up not being the best experience, and then they end up losing the customer for life. So happy to get into what we think is a bit of the future, but that's the challenge that we've seen. So yes, we do have a subscription app, but I would say we're not in the subscription business. We're in the repeat revenue, repeat order business, however mechanism that they get it.
All right, let me recap, and then I want to hear your solution for this, because it's fascinating and deceptively simple. Once you hear it, you're like, oh, of course. Number one, subscriptions, amazing. You know, everybody wants that predictable recurring cash flow in their business. And then as a customer, I want the convenience. The problem is, in practice, getting the timing right is incredibly difficult. And subscriptions kind of, interestingly, get painted in one broad stroke together. If I am frustrated with one subscription, I may go cancel all the others, or, you know, related subscriptions. And I think that's, you know, a normal behavior because you just kind of see these things as bucketed together. And I'm not blaming anybody because I'm in the same boat. I was like, wow, I could automate my life. I'm going to subscribe to everything. Oh, crap, that didn't quite work right. I'm never subscribing to anything again, other than for some reason, air filters, right? That's my one my one exception. How do we fix it? Like what? I know you've got a solution. What is it?
Well, we have a hypothesis. I don't know if it's like fixed 100%, but we're making a dent in it. About a year and a half ago, like we've been seeing this kind of trend for the last 3 or 4 years of customers getting like more and more subscription fatigue and more of our brands. When we look in the dashboard of their analytics and we see that, like take a pet food brand, like every customer should be buying pet food. Most of the brands using our subscription app who sell pet food, probably like on the low end, 10% of their customers are on a subscription. On the high end, 25%. And the other 60-ish percent, they just buy their pet food when they need it. And so now they might buy it or they might just buy it in a grocery store sometime and be gone. So we thought, well, what if we could predict when a customer needs a reorder of a product? And the world is kind of at a good spot for this now with AI and the tools available. But the hypothesis was, could we predict when each unique customer might need a refill and then send a helpful nudge for them to reorder? And could we make it like a one-click experience? So it's really frictionless, not a marketing email, just a, hey, Kurt, ready for more coffee? Ready for your next order of coffee? Yep, great, on the way. Like super frictionless. So that was our hypothesis. And about a year ago, well, last January, so over a year now, we started building. And like we built for about 5 months, did a lot of internal testing, and we onboarded our first customer in as a test last June 2025, and ran it for about a month on this one customer store, learned a lot. Then after about a month, put it on another customer store and another customer store. Long story short, we ended up putting it on 50 Shopify merchants for 6 months as this test to see if we could actually figure out when customers need reorders and if it could get smarter each time and learn customers' behavior. And our initial goal, we didn't know what to expect. We just thought, well, could we increase reorder rate maybe 5%? We had no idea because there isn't really like, this doesn't kind of exist out there. There's marketing tools and you can set up reorder automations with like Klaviyo and Omnisend and other tools, but they're like, they're fixed and they just go out 30 days after an order, time for more, whatever, but it's not unique for every customer with different messagings.
This episode is sponsored in part by Zipify. Here's a stat that should keep you up at night. 80% of the people who buy from your store will never come back. They're gone. You get one shot with these customers, one chance to recover what you spent acquiring them, and maybe turn a profit. That's why upsells matter so much. The problem is most upsell apps only trigger after checkout, post-purchase only, which means you're ignoring every other step of the funnel. Product pages, cart, checkout, all of it, just leaking money. Zipify's one-click upsell fixes this. OCU lets you place offers before, during, and after the sale, so you're capturing revenue from the moment someone lands on your site to the moment they leave. That's how it's generated over $1 billion in extra revenue for Shopify merchants. It pays for itself, so there's zero risk. 13,000 merchants are already using it. Brands like Victoria Beckham, Lumi, even Cheech and Chong. You could try it free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. If I'm playing devil's advocate, yeah, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, well, I could sort of do this. Like at Klaviyo, It's got predictive date of next order. So I could send a win back campaign is what they call them. Or it's all right, win back campaign goes out on predictive date of next order, which, you know, it's better than nothing, but I don't know that the adoption rate on that's amazing.
Yeah, it's better than nothing. And I would for sure have those on. So what we've done is, that's one channel. So email is a channel. SMS is a channel. We work across a whole bunch of channels, push, browser push, on site. So when a customer lands on your site, if there is a predicted reorder within a certain time window, by default, it's 2 days, but you could say like 7 days. So if I land on a site and it predicts that I need a reorder within the 7-day window. A little toast notification comes up and says, hey, Jay, is it time for more protein? Yes. Great. This address, done, on the way. Alexa skills are being built. Dynamic. Hello. Yeah. This one you'll like. I don't know if I've told you about this one, but dynamic content blocks. So the app is called Repeat. I don't even think I mentioned that yet.
All right. So we got a new app to solve this. It's called Repeat. Yeah. As in R-E-P-T.
P-E-T-E. Correct. Yes.
I like the name.
We debated between refill, like P-H-I-L, but refill felt like for pharmaceuticals. So like if we ever like go into pharmaceuticals, it'll be refill. Oh, so going back to it, we're building out these dynamic repeat blocks where you can drop them into your Klaviyo marketing email or Omnisend or whatever tool you use. And if you're sending out a marketing email and it detects that there is a reorder due for that person, it will put a reorder nudge in the email. So like if you ordered protein yesterday and then you send out a marketing email tomorrow, it won't show anything. It'll just be blank, like not empty space, but it'll just be nothing. But if a customer ordered their last time they ordered protein was 47 days ago, and if it predicts that a reorder is due within a 7-day window of the date of that email going out, it'll say, hey, Kurt, might be time for more protein. Should we get your next shipment on the way? Yes. It takes you to one more confirmation and then it's on the way. There's more channels coming too. We're building out dynamic audiences for retargeting. So if customers need a reorder, you'll be able to retarget them on Meta, like Instagram, Facebook, wherever. The point is, Repeat can interact with your customer in many channels, like not just email and SMS. So, and it's dynamic too. So like if, it's kind of fun when you install it, it asks you a bunch of questions. It's like, okay, do you want to give discounts on your reorders? And you can say, yeah, give a 5% discount on their first reorder. After they've reordered three times, you can do a 10% discount. If products need to switch to different products, it works that all into the messaging, and it's AI based. It's not, there's no templates to create, which is hard for some people to wrap their head around, but I think most people are starting to get this now. So like you don't create any templates. You give it your tone, your brand. You can give it guidelines. You can say like, we're a protein company for surfers, and it'll talk like how you should talk to a surfer dude. I don't know how I'm going to impersonate that. I'll embarrass myself, but you can give it, it can speak different languages to different customers. So if a customer orders in a English locale, Shopify instance, it'll speak English to them, or French or Spanish. So it can message in different languages. You can do some of this with email tools, and I think like you should for sure be doing that. But if you want to take it one step further, then that's where we think Repeat can help drive even more. And going back to what I was saying earlier, like we didn't know what to expect. Like I kind of in my head was like, hey, if we can drive like 5% more reorders, like that's pretty good. Like stores doing millions of dollars, like 5% more reorders is huge. For the 50 stores that we ran it for 6 months, the average store, we increased reorders 6.6%. Our best store touched, well, it was just under 18.1%. And I got to check last month. I think it's higher, but like 18% more reorders. And I mean, some of like going back to what I was saying earlier about subscriptions, like we have brands using our subscription app that only 15% of their revenue in their store is going through a subscription. And now some of these stores, like close to 20% of their repeat business is just going through these on-demand reorders. So what it tells me is like, it's a way that customers like to order. Like it's, because that was the other big question was, we know we can drive revenue for brands. Like you can spam customers and drive revenue. That's not our goal. Our goal is for the end customer to also enjoy it, for it to be a good experience for you, Kurt, getting your reorder nudge for your coffee. Like if it annoys you, you're going to lose that customer. So it has to be well received for the end customer too. So the overall conversion, it's actually still going up. Last month it was 17%. So of all nudges, 17% ended up completing a reorder.
That's a huge acceptance rate. That's really good.
I think so. I think like, I know email, like if you send an email and you get 3-5%, that's pretty good. But it's getting better each month, because every single month, or not, I shouldn't say month, every cycle, It adjusts. So if a customer says, no, not now, remind me in 7 days, at every point it learns and it adjusts on the next one. And even if a customer places the order, we don't even take that as truth of like, that's the right time. Cause it might nudge you to reorder your coffee and you might order your coffee. That doesn't mean it was a perfectly timed nudge. You might just be like, okay, yeah, I'll get some more now because I'll stock up. So then, on the confirmation step, there's just three little buttons. It says, how was my timing? Like repeat the character. How's my timing? Perfectly timed, a bit too early, a little bit too late. And so each time, even if you do reorder, it still can adjust and get smart from that too. So hopefully it like should only go up. I imagine we'll hit a plateau at some point, but it's still going up every month. So
this sounds like a deceptively simple idea that we just hadn't thought about before, and then really well executed, where devil's in the details and you thought through them, you know, to get it right. And so I've got the convenience of a subscription is real. I want it. But trying to get the timing right is just a nightmare for both sides of the table. You know, the merchant's trying to figure it out because they want to keep the subscriptions and make customers happy. And the customers want the convenience, but like it ends up being inconvenient. All right, got that. So your fix is, one, let's essentially make the entire process dynamic and opt-in. And so like normally with it's a subscription, I pick the subscription, but then it's opt-out. You know, I could skip a month or I cancel it. We know what the expected reorder date is. You know, initially we're going to base that on what, asking the merchant and then also looking at historical data.
Yeah, both. So the way it works is when you install the app, it's literally, I think you can be fully onboarded in 5 minutes. It just asks a few questions. But then, depending on your store volume, the longest, we've had one store take 5 days. That was the longest. They were like over $100 million store. So they had a ton of orders. So it literally goes through every single order in your store. Most stores take about 24 hours. And what it does is it ingests every order in your store and it starts to look for repeat patterns. So first it's algorithmic and it looks for patterns in order behavior of specific products. So what products in general are reorderable? Like if you sell, let's just take cat, like the pet food stuff, like pet food is reorderable. Pet beds are not reorderable. Like, so it starts to look for patterns. That's algorithm. Then it starts to build out predictions for each customer. So this customer ordered a pet bed. They should not get reordered or nudged to reorder. This person ordered one of these products that is reorderable. It should be. And then it starts to build a reorder prediction confidence level. When it has enough of a confidence level, we do an AI gut check. So each customer it's AI layered on top of the algorithm. And what I mean by that is the example I always use is you might buy a couch. I don't know if this is the best example. Tell me if I need a new one, but this is one. So you might buy a couch for your house, and then 3 months later, you buy a couch for your cabin or your office. And then 3 months later, you buy a couch for your daughter who's going off to university. So an algorithm would say, Kurt needs a couch every 3 months. That would be a bad reorder nudge. So an algorithm would pick that up, and it might have a high enough confidence level in the reorder prediction. But then when it does its AI gut check and it says give back a confidence level on the reorderability of this product, it might be very low. Like people don't reorder couches. So then that would never get a successful confidence level enough to be created as a reorder. It does that for every single customer, for every single product. And then depending on like your store's history, it takes a while. But then when it's ready to go, it'll have a unique prediction for every single customer. If customers ordered something like a year ago, it's not going to nudge them. It would only nudge your most recent customer. So it's not going to annoy like anyone within a cycle. So then that's the starting point. It might think you need your dog food every 13 days. Someone else needs their dog food every 27 days because they got a little dog or whatever. It figures it all out. It starts nudging. And then every single nudge, it adjusts and gets smarter. If you have a brand new product that has no history, you can put in a default cycle time for it. But you don't have to do any of that. So like when you install the app, you don't have to go through all your products and put in a default start. It figures it out. The only time I would do that is if you put in a brand new product that doesn't exist. You don't have to, it will figure it out. But if you said, no, I want to start this at a certain, like I want my start time to be 30 days, it'll start nudging people every 30 days and then adjust from there. Like some people it'll go longer, some people will go shorter, but that'll be the starting point.
Okay. And then as far as how it gets in touch with them, I could plug in lots of channels to it. It sounds like, you know, like even blocks in my, you know, Klaviyo or other email platforms. I can add in SMS, which is really cool. It's like, hey, I got a text message, straight email, Alexa notification. Like, you got all kinds of stuff you could plug into it. And then, how does it determine? How are we determining, you know, which channel to use, or does it use all of them? And then for messaging, based on what you've described, I'm guessing I had to give my tone, brand tone of voice up front. And so then the AI writes the message on the fly for me.
Bingo. And going back to what you said earlier about annoying, I think I can't remember exactly how you said it, but there's three things you have to get right. And it has to be in this order. The first thing you have to get right if you're doing reorders is the timing. I always say the best message at the wrong time is still an annoying message. Like someone texts you in the middle of a funeral with the best news, it's still an annoying message, right? Like timing matters. And so anyways, you can have the best written helpful nudge, but if it's the timing is wrong, it's annoying, it's noise, and customers get annoyed by that. So timing, we have to get that perfect. That's like priority number one. The second thing is the message. Like we have to get the message right. So a good message for a reorder is helpful. It's not salesy. It's not promotional. It's not trying to sell you on more stuff and upgrades. It's just time for more coffee. Yep. Because if you're going to be earning the trust of that customer ongoing, it has to be short and helpful. That's it. And then the third thing is the channel. And so not everyone wants to get SMS. Not everyone wants email. Not everyone wants push. Not everyone wants browser. Not everyone wants to ask Alexa if it's time for a reorder, or Alexa to tell them. And like, so it actually adjusts on all of those. So obviously the timing adjusts per customer. The messaging adjusts as well too. It's always like there's a bunch of parameters built into the AI. Like it's short, helpful, never salesy, friendly. There's like a lot of guidance, and then you give it your tone, but it'll never, it always tries to be as brief as it can, right to the point, never, you know, like adding add-ons or use any promotional language. And then channel, it learns as well too. If some customer only engages in one channel, or it says only SMS me or email me, it'll learn that as well too. So all three actually adapt. So, but the most important one is timing. You get that right. You get the messaging right. And then, so when it starts, it will nudge on various channels, and then it will adapt. If a customer only ever engages with an email, it might adjust and stop sending text messages, because this customer has only engaged with an email three times on all three fronts.
Here's some customer service emails you don't want to wake up to. I was drunk. This was a gift, but we broke up. Wrong color, wrong size, wrong me. Sound familiar? With Cleverific, you don't have to deal with these anymore. Cleverific gives your customers a self-service portal to edit their own orders. No emails, no back and forth, just simple fixes. Fewer support tickets, faster fulfillment, and happier customers. Peter Manning New York slashed their order support request by 99%. You can too. Get 50% off the Cleverific Pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for the unofficial Shopify podcast listeners. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Fix the problem before it's a problem. That's Cleverific. Tell me about the order process. Like let's say I get a text message. Hey, Kurt, mm-hmm. did you need to order coffee? You know, and it's from my favorite coffee place. And my answer is yes. What happens?
So right now it's one click. We can do it without a click, but we actually found that it reduced conversion because customers like to see the address, like where is it shipping? They like to visually, it's kind of like on Amazon when you click buy now, it's not just one click. They then show you the address because you might have five saved addresses in your account, different credit cards, et cetera. So it's actually not a one click, even though it's marketed as one click. So anyways, we can process it right from the text message, but we found customers didn't like that. So you click it, takes you to a confirmation modal that shows the product and the address, and you can change the address. You can select any of your saved addresses in your Shopify profile. And then you just click, if everything looks good, you just click confirm, spins for about 2 seconds, and then says order placed. So it actually doesn't even need to go through checkout. Now, it's optional. You can have it go through your Shopify checkout if you want. And some brands love that because they have a whole bunch of upselling flows in checkout, or they have different things they want to, and to be honest, like, Shopify checkout's pretty good. So I don't think sending them to Shopify checkout is going to drastically hurt conversion. But we do have the one click option there. If they go through checkout, then it's just a normal Shopify checkout. If it's not, we just use the stored payment on file. So this is actually just for anyone who's technical. After, on the first reorder, it wouldn't be one click. After that, it would be one click. And there is a little thing when a customer places their first reorder, it says, would you like to turn on one click reorders in the future for faster reorders? So the customer opts into it. It's not something where
And that's like a vaulted credit card?
Yeah, we just use the same technology as subscriptions.
Okay.
So it's all, it's actually Shopify stores it, not us. So we're not storing the credit card. That's all on Shopify. We just store a contract.
They're the PCI compliant one. I'd prefer they do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are PCI compliant too, but yes, I agree. Yeah. Well, and you know what? It just offloads all of that extra processing on us. So no, Shopify stores everything. So any payment that you have saved with Shopify payments, what we as an app store is what's called a contract, a billing contract, that then you can send a charge to and charge against. But that's optional. You don't have to turn on the one click. You can have it go to checkout. There's pros and cons to both, but that's what the flow looks like. The only other thing that we added about a month and a half ago, we had a lot of the beta merchants asking if there could be like a relevant cross-sell add-on when they reorder. So we built what we call Repeats Smart Cart, which is one more step in between. So it's like, hey, Kurt, time for more cat food. You click yes. And it's like, do you want to add some cat treats or something else? Whatever else would be like a replenishable type product. You can click yes, yes, done. And then continue to check out. So that step is in there and you can turn that offer on. We're seeing really good conversion on that Smart Cart. It's, because we have an upsell app, so we kind of know where averages are on upsells. This Smart Cart is about double what an average upsell converts at. And I think it's because like it's a customer who knows you. They're buying from you already. They've bought from you before. It's very different than when you show an upsell to a customer who's like never bought from you and they're on the front end of your store and you click add to cart and a pop-up comes up. Like those do work a bit, but these ones convert. Like we're getting some stores over 30%, where like an average upsell is 8 to 12%. Like, so
if you're lucky,
right. Yes, totally. But these, it's very different because it's like an add on to your reorder versus interrupting your shopping experience, I guess. Right. So, we're seeing really good results with them.
So well, you know, another value add here is we had Jeremy Horowitz on the show, and he told us one of the things that he looks at when evaluating a Shopify store to acquire it is repeat purchase rate. Something like repeat would, assuming it's successful, which it sounds like based on these beta results, it would be, increases the value of the business, you know, as an asset.
Yeah, dude, that's so perceptive of you. And I don't even usually get into this because this is more like my internal thing is I ran online stores for many years of my life and I had some of them that I was able to sell and make a little bit of money on for my family. And some of them went to zero. And when you run a business, I think there's probably going to be a lot of people listening to this episode. They're grinding right now. They probably have a regular full-time job. They're maybe trying to get a business going. You know how hard it is. And you can run a store for years before you actually start making money that you can like put in your pocket. And I know that anything you can do to increase the value of your business, I care about deeply, because you work so hard for something. And then at the end, if you don't have something that's worth something to sell, yeah, you made some money, hopefully, along the way. But like a lot of times, like you ask a lot of people who own a business, and if you said, take the amount of hours that you work on it divided by the money you make, you might be making less than minimum wage, because like you are putting in so much time into some of these projects. And so when a business does repeat revenue, whether that's subscription or it's more valuable. We actually have we've raised money at Bold, and we have some of our money at Bold is recurring. And when we raised a couple rounds, the investors literally looked at all of the revenue that we made as Bold, and they said, okay, this chunk over here gets this valuation. And it was a multiple of EBITDA and a very low multiple.
Because it was one time.
I just had someone on our podcast recently from her company's called They Got Acquired. And she writes about, businesses that get acquired and like revealing behind the curtain of it. And anyways, she said, yep, that's about right. Like if you have an e-commerce business and you sell it, and if you only do one-time products, they'll look at your EBITDA. But if you have subscriptions, she said, you'll get a multiple of top line revenue. So take that same store doing subscriptions for $1 million a year in subscription revenue. That store now might be worth, honestly, like it could be worth as much as like 7 to 8x. But I've seen a lot of brands using our subscription app when they've got investment or sold, like 3 to 5x is about average of the subscription portion of the revenue. So like you work your whole life building this business, and I'm just using $1 million for an easy number, but say you've got it doing $1 million in revenue a year. If it's one-time customers, you've got a business worth $300,000 to $600,000. If it's repeat business, if it's 100% repeat business, you've got a business worth $2 to $4 million. Same business, same products, but different reorder rate. And I've talked to Jeremy about this as well too. So it's funny you brought him up. And I asked him, I said, well, do you care if it's subscription or if it's reorder? He goes, you know, I don't really care if it's subscription. He goes, in fact, if I see a store has a high reorder rate and they're not on subscription, that's actually even a better indicator. Like if those customers are coming back and they're not on subscription, but if I see that the average customer buys 9.2 times and they're not on subscription, like that's a healthy business. Like that business, we can pump money into ads. We can pay to grow that business versus you might have a subscription business. And I can tell you the average lifespan of a subscriber is around 6 months.
Okay.
Some of the really good ones, it's way higher than that.
We've had to manage subscriptions and like, yeah, you start to at month three, month four, you start to see churn. And then, yeah, by month six, it's like you've lost a considerable percent. It's just the longer it goes on, the tougher it is to keep them. And to, you know, Jeremy's point, like, hey, if someone, you know, places multiple orders organically, you know, they're just repeat one-time purchasers. Well, that's, I'm making an active purchase versus subscription, it's a lot more passive. I totally get where seeing those one-time purchases like that are more valuable.
Yep. And it's not just, A, it makes your business more valuable. B, of course, the revenue of those customers coming back is awesome. When you get a customer to reorder one more time from you, it increases their likelihood of ordering from you again. I think it's like 32%. When they order from you a third time, their likelihood of ordering from you a fourth time goes up to like 52%. When they order from you a fourth time, their likelihood of ordering from you again goes up like 65%. Those aren't the exact numbers, but it's something like that. And yeah. The point is, each time a customer orders from you, they become more sticky. So you after a certain amount of times, it's become habit. And it's like, okay, this is where I go for my pet food. I'm not even going to go and search in Google. The first time I buy my hand lotion or whatever, suntan lotion, I might go back to the company. But if I do buy it again, I'm now 32% more likely to go back. And it goes up and up and up. So it has that effect. It also, customers that reorder more refer more friends as well too. So they have a higher referral rate. Like everything about the metrics is good. Like then I probably don't need to preach that. I think people know it, but I get excited about it because the impact that I see it have on brands' valuation and like for all of your hard work that at the end of the day, there's like something there valuable. So
yeah,
it's good for so many reasons.
Repeat launched March 4th, but it was invite only. Is it still invite only? How do we get in this thing?
Yeah. So you can go to repeat.me. There's a big install button right in the middle. Install it. We're getting through stores. There won't be more than like a few day wait, if that. We're getting through them pretty quick now. We wanted to make it invite only to start. Well, it's still invite only now. That doesn't mean you can't get in. It just means you do have to get in a queue. I know you have a bunch of golden ticket codes. I'll make sure, like, if anyone listening to this wants to get in, we'll skip the queue. There's two reasons why we have the queue. One is it does take usually 24 hours for it to process, and we are still doing a human verification on every single store. So like, even though AI is awesome, algorithms are awesome, but we still check every single store just to make sure everything looks good. So we wanted to kind of control the flow of people installing it. That was the main reason. Things have been going really good. I don't know how much longer we'll have to keep it quote unquote gated, right? It's not gated. It's just when you install it, it might take 2 or 3 days before you get an email saying, "Hey Kurt, okay, you're up next." So you get in, but, we have these kind of golden tickets that we've given out to like certain agencies. And I know you have a bunch, and, if someone's interested, we just skip that queue and we'll just move them right up to the front. So
that makes sense. So, last year, I think you and I did a collab episode. You know, your show's Shopify 1%, and we did the 10 biggest mistakes. All right, you now have a chance to amend it with the 11th biggest mistake. What's the 11th biggest mistake?
The 11th biggest mistake is not understanding that when you get a customer, when someone buys from your store, you don't have a customer, you have a lead. Like that customer is trying out your product. They're trying you out as your brand. And your job is to, I would say after the second, maybe the third time they order, you can actually say, "I've got a customer now." And so we celebrate orders, we celebrate acquisition, and we look at how many new customers we got, but we really every month should be looking at the metrics. How many customers ordered this month for their third time? Like if I asked most brands, they wouldn't know that number off the top of their head. They could tell you how many orders they got last month. They could tell you how many new orders, but last month, how many customers ordered for the third time? That's health. Like those are real customers. Those are going to be your customers that refer people, that advocate for you, your brand ambassadors. Like those are going to be what you build your business on top of. So I think first of all, know that number, get to know your repeat metrics. Actually, we have in repeat, we have a dashboard. We call it the Repeat Power Metrics that has nothing to do with the app. It's its own panel. And it shows your store's reorder rate, your reorder revenue, your reorders per customer. And that shows the second you install the app, because we run a bunch of queries in Shopify and pull that in. And then we show repeats order metrics. But I found when we were building this app out, I asked every single customer that we installed it. I was like, "Oh, do you know what your reorder rate is?" And like 10% of people knew it. They didn't know what the reorder rate was. And they're like, "Oh, how do I even get that number?" And I was like, "Okay, well, let's actually, if you go in Shopify reports, it's not an easy number to get. You have to run a query. They don't have a report for it. You can see the reorder rate, but that includes subscriptions and that includes everything. So you have to write a query that says, tell me all customers who ordered within the last year, greater than one, exclude customers with a subscription contract. And then it gives you that, but there's no like canned report for it. So we pull all those in and we actually give a whole reorder metrics dashboard because we think it's so important. Regardless, like you could actually just install the app, not even use it, and just use it for the reorder dashboard. But biggest mistake is thinking you got a customer and that's a win, and it's not. That's just a lead.
That's good advice. And all right, if I want to learn more about you, I want to learn more about this app, where am I going?
Repeat.me, P-E-T-E.me. would love to have anyone. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but the app is actually completely free. There's only a fee when it makes a sale. So there's no SMS fees. There's no email fees. There's no fees per like number of contacts or anything. There's not even an app fee. If it makes a sale, there is a fee on the sale. That's it. So kind of what I tell brands is like, try it out, like see if it works. If it doesn't work, you can uninstall it and it didn't cost you anything. I haven't seen a store that it hasn't worked with yet. We have seen some stores that are not a good fit. Like we've had like furniture brands install it that don't typically have replenishable products.
Yeah. If you don't have products that make sense for a subscription, like, okay, obviously it's not going to be an ideal fit.
Yeah. But we even
have tried it anyway.
They tried it. We have some brands that sell golf supplies that are actually doing really well. Like gloves, balls, tees, stuff like that. So as long as you have some products that are replenishable, it will pick up those products and get more people to reorder and then maybe add on the other products as well too. So you go to repeat.me. You literally can install it in 5 minutes. It walks you through it, takes about 24 hours, and then the nudges are ready to start going out and getting you more reorders.
All right. Final question, because it can't be all roses. What, as this scales, what scares you about it?
That's a good question. And, you know, like, I just see all these more opportunities. I haven't even thought about what scares me about it. I mean, there's a ton of infrastructure underneath this. Like, we are learning a lot. Like, it's like anything you launch. And as soon as, like, we got brands. Well, it's on our website. So I can like built.com is a built bar. They are putting through, it's generating like six figures a day in reorders, and Whoa. It is sending out, and it's actually only, they installed it just over a week ago. And I know the founder quite well, and he's awesome. He's like, I'm not going to share any specific numbers, but he's like, he's always been very gracious with saying, yes, I'm happy to be a, you can share that we use it. But I never like share specifically, but, what I can say is this right now, it's only sending to like, I think it's like 12%. Cause when you install it, it ramps up. It doesn't send to 100% of customers day one. For them, it's starting 3% day one, and then it goes up to 6% day two. And we're gradually doing that until 100% of the customers are in, and it's already doing very significant numbers. But the sheer volume of messaging, like we aren't an email and SMS company by our DNA. So there's been a lot that we've had to learn to do, and it's been fun. I just see the opportunity because customers are already asking like, well, this is awesome, but can repeat now predict my inventory requirements for the next 6 months? And we're like, actually, yeah, it can. Like we literally
yeah, could that, give you that's clever.
We could give a report. So we're building it, where we could give a report of, we know that in your store, it's converting 7% of people. And or it could be in this store, it's converting 31% of people. So this is your conversion number. We got this many products that are nudgeable or predictable for a reorder. We can, in the next 3 months, this is your estimated inventory requirements based off of real data of this. And so I'm like, that's super cool. And then we've had other brands that sell not replenishable products, but very much like clothing brands where repeat business is super huge to them. Even though you don't reorder a t-shirt every month, there's a logical next product to buy. So even if you buy a t-shirt, this is a True Classic t-shirt. I've bought a different True Classic shirt, and I have bought True Classic multiple times. So like even a t-shirt might be, but the point is, there is order history, and it might be that you buy a couch, which is not a reorderable product, but it could nudge you later on to reorder, in the same line, same color tone, another product. And we looked at, we're like, yeah, actually it can do that. It's not doing that right now. Like the AI is not programmed to do that, but it can. And so, you know, that opens up a whole world of like, not just replenishable products, but other products too. And so it's kind of like, I feel it's the tip of the iceberg, the replenishable stuff. And there's so much more we can help brands with, but that's what we're focusing on for now. I don't know I'm sure there will be other stuff to keep me up at night. Right now it's the infrastructure.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I asked. That was an interesting answer. Yeah, for sure. Like just the infrastructure. And then, you know, just learn as you build a tool like this, new technologies, you know, in this case, it's like, all right, you really got to figure out email and SMS and then, you know, adding other skills and notifications and, you know, stuff to it. There's, totally. And also, you know, a lot of times it's like, all right, prioritizing it. Okay, where do we, what do we build next? Where do we go from here? And that, you know, because if you're doing one thing, you can't do another. But yeah, all right, Jay Myers, bold, repeat.me. Wow. Thank you for sharing this with me. It's really cool.
Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate you so much, Kurt.
Thank you, Jay. Talk soon. Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.